Welcome to Heroes of the Horn, a Wheel of Time podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Ezra. Welcome to our Wheel of Time book club. The horn has sounded, and we have answered the call. And by the way, by call, I mean the trailer, my friend. It has dropped. This is a big trailer discussion. Everyone's talking about it. I just saw the Dusty Wheel clicked off. You had all the YouTubers were live today talking about it. Twitter was lit up with it. It's here. It's awesome. And we are here to talk about it.
Yes, we are, Ez. So here we go. Let me provide a little backstory here.
Yeah.
So Sir Jimmy, who's been a good, friend on the show, runs a great channel called The Fantasy Network, where he reviews fantasy novels, all that stuff. He and I are in sort of a group chat with Ez, and Ez doesn't really participate in that group chat very much, but Jimmy and I do, and we have been incredibly. We have been incredibly critical of the way in which the showrunners have been promoting the show leading up to where we're at to today. The show was coming out in November. We know that, but we didn't know when. Now we found out today. And in fact, we were worried a little bit, Ez. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of worries with this show. One, COVID potentially may have shut it down. So there was that. We have been nervous about when this show would come out, because the Wheel of Time, while big, is big in sort of the fantasy realm. It is not necessarily a big name outside of fantasy books. It doesn't carry the same weight as, say, Lord of the Rings does, or I would even say things like the Chronicles of Narnia, or Harry Potter, obviously, Game of Thrones more recently, but just in sort of that the mainstream sort of audience isn't as familiar with Wheel of Time. Sure. And so we were nervous about when this show would air, because as it kept getting delayed and delayed with COVID and no news of when it was coming out, we knew it was running the potential of running into The Witcher, which it actually will overlap with The Witcher a little bit. You've got like some other big streaming shows like Star Wars, The Mandalorian and stuff like that's coming early next year. Netflix just launched Shadow and Bone, and that has been sort of a hit. And then, of course, the big daddy, the granddaddy of them all, the House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel, which is, I think, coming next April. And then we know sometime next year is the Lord of the Rings show. And so we were nervous that this show could get buried and wouldn't have the immediate success that could essentially hamper it going forward. So that was one of our big worries. And then those worries were sort of compounded by, just the general lack of information on the show, right? Then we started to get teasers, and the teasers themselves, and I am still critical, actually, now that I've even seen the full scene, I think I'm even more critical of the choice of the original Moraine teaser with just like her eyes opening. And I said, when I saw that, when we see the context, it will make more sense. But you could still go find 6 seconds of a movie, of a great movie, and just show that, and it could make that movie look bad. And I still am actually, I think, even more critical of that today. So we were getting those, and then we were getting sort of these like pictures and stuff like that. But there was never any news of a teaser. And Comic-Con went by, and some of these other places that could have been a great place to show the trailer went by. And then we kind of found out that the show is airing in November, and we were like, are we going to see this trailer? When is it going to happen? You think you need to start promoting this? Well, I would say that 99% of my worries for this show, and not that it would be bad, but just sort of its potential to be successful, because I want it to have the best chance to be successful. I think 99% of those were, they were gone after seeing the trailer we saw today.
Yeah.
Which is good, is what I wanted.
Yeah, no, that's good. That is good. And I feel good saying that, like, I've seen, I've been in the chat, I've seen you guys talking, I've seen some of our other bannermen over on Bend the Knee and different places talking about it as well. And it is good. I've been watching Twitter, people critical, some people super happy about it. The trailer has everyone, I think it's probably 90 to 95% of people, Wheel of Time fans, people coming into it are going, this is awesome. This looks epic. And it felt like the world, I mean, Tar Valon in this trailer, it just looked so good. everything looked so good. The costuming, all of that. And you're right, you can find 6 seconds somewhere that looks a little weird when you zoom in on it, and there's weird mist and channeling power going on, and you don't really know what's happening. So, yeah, that without context, that can be different. I'd rather just have had a still, I think is what you guys were arguing back in the day, like a still image.
Back on the initial. Yeah, so the initial Moraine teaser, for anybody who's sort of coming into this new, which I'm sure there are a lot of people after just seeing this full trailer, is in this trailer, it's the scene where she uses lightning, right? The lightning, she uses the power, lightning comes down and probably wrecks all of the Trollocs around her.
Yeah.
But it was this awesome. Sort of, it was just the shot of her opening her eyes, and it's super zoomed in on her face, and there's like a harsh white light on it. And so it's like, this doesn't tell me anything. It doesn't tell me anything. I thought it was a bad choice. Then we got one a little bit later, which was sort of Lan, but it was zoomed out enough to see just a bit of his costuming. And we thought that was way, way cooler of sort of an intro, because we were able to see more. Then there was the leaked photos, right? And it was like Blousegate, where everyone's like, wait, what's the costuming? Is she just wearing, like, looks like she went to TJ Maxx. You know, there was a lot of that. And so then it made the initial trailer seem that much more sort of like, wait, what is going on here? Because it seemed they didn't want that sort of leaked image to come out. And then they just sort of revealed the whole thing. So, you know, again, what I had said was, if we see more context, it'll make more sense, which is what we got. And so I think it's way cooler, obviously. So we got the trailer today. There is sort of an interesting person who wasn't in the trailer as...
Yeah.
And I think we should just go ahead and get this dialed in here right now, because our friend Loyal, he wasn't in this, my friend.
He wasn't in it. He was not in it. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about people who are in the trailer who was not in the trailer, but flat out he was not there, and it's suspect, because I mean, how are we supposed to transition into our Manscaped ad?
Well, when Loyal's not there, my friend, because he is certainly one of these characters who could benefit from it. I mean, attention to our listeners, okay, whether you're here on YouTube or across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tool for the job. For the leaders in male grooming, join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped to get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code FANSIDED20. And as I will say it, Loyal, maybe he manscaped so much that he's not even here. We couldn't even tell. Well,
he might have been in the trailer, and he's so cleaned up, we don't even know. He's the guy holding the ring, right? He's the supposed warder holding the ring. He looks clean. Oh,
he's so trimmed up, man. That's what happens when you use that lawnmower 4.0, right? It's got the 400,000 LED spotlight. You can turn it off and off when you need it. Get those precise, you know, trimmings. Okay, well, hey, so
also real quick, just don't forget, Manscaped throws in two free gifts with their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped boxers and the Shed traveling bag. And the Shed made me think of Rand's farm, you know, and there's got to be a Shed back out there somewhere. He's got a traveling bag.
You're going to need a traveling bag to put, you know, the dagger and some of these other things, you know, that they're picking up here. So, hey, guys, make sure to get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That is 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com for a clean Trinity and beyond. Your space balls will thank you. As with that, now let's dive back in to the trailer here, my friend.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. First of all, this was another thing that I thought was botched, because they said, hey, it's going to be on at 8:30. So I'm on Twitter at 8:30 waiting for it to get dropped, because that's where they said it would be.
Yeah, they did.
And I'm texting. I'm in our group chat with Jimmy, and I'm like, dude, it's 8:33 and that trailer's not out. Well, they released it on the Prime YouTube, but they made it seem like it was going to be on the Twitter. No, they didn't tweet it until like 8:40, 8:50.
Son of a gun. I mean, what a joke. Okay. Oh, my God. Matt's arguing about, you know, four to 5 minutes here.
So anywho, once I went to the Twitter, okay, I saw it was live. I was like, 2 minutes, you know, 2 minutes and 20 seconds. The YouTube version's 2 minutes and 20 seconds because there's like a 20-second little video thing there at the end. Mostly because, you know, the way YouTube works, right, where it shows all the end cards and stuff.
Right.
But it's a 2 minute trailer. And I mean, we're going to sort of just go through it here. I actually watched an IGN did a really good breakdown of it. Although be careful, God, they said it's like non-spoiler. They're like, yeah, this probably won't really spoil anything, as they flat out spoiled something like the end of the series for me.
What?
Like totally spoiled something that's like end of the series.
Okay, well, say it here because because we're a non-spoiler kind of podcast.
We're non-spoiler here.
Up through book five.
So avoid sort of the IGN one if you don't want like a big, huge moment spoiled for you. But okay, so our trailer begins and we have Nynaeve and Egwene. And Nynaeve says, you know, this is where she pushes Egwene into the river there. Do you think that what's her name actually did that? I mean, it kind of looks like it wasn't a stunt double. That looks like she's doing the stunt.
That'd be kind of cool. Maybe it's not that high, and they made it look higher or something. That is kind of cool if she did push her off, and that you know the actual actresses did that. I don't know, but I think my bigger question was like, what are they doing that for? Why did she? Was she just afraid? Were they on the move there, like on the run, and she jumped in, or was this something around the Two Rivers or Emmons Field? They're just having fun.
I think a lot of this is episode
wisdom
one.
Training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wisdom training. Yeah. So then we sort of get a zoomed out shot here and we see Emmons Field, which we had seen pictures of. That was like the first thing we ever saw was Emmons Field sort of pictures. But it's cool to get something. You get the light cascading. You get people. We're getting set up for Beltane. Then we zoom in and we're in the Quillen Tanker, right?
Yeah.
Winespring. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Yes.
And everybody's kind of there. We have Matt, Perrin, and Rand all kind of sitting down. It's very, you know, Lord of the Rings-esque.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, Pippin, Sam, and everybody.
Getting a drink.
It's kind of cool. You're right. They're all just sitting there hanging out, which is great because that's early in the chapters where there's, you know, thing. Egwene walks in. Nynaeve is kind of standing there. And then we get a big smile from Rand.
Yeah. Like, is he happy to see her? Or is he just had a bit too much whiskey? Or what's going on?
And things start getting dark from there, my friend.
Yes, they do.
We get a zoomed out shot, and Moraine is sort of talking over all of this. We get sort of a zoomed out shot. We see some people riding. Then we see a man crying, kissing what looks like a ring. Now, a lot of people were saying maybe Luce Theron. Like, it's not entirely clear. The IGN breakdown said if you look really closely, it looks like he's kissing. They were saying it's Lan's father.
What?
That's what they're saying in the IGN breakdown.
Really?
Yeah, like the golden crane, and because
I don't know, because if you go look, so there's a shot. We'll see.
They could be totally wrong. Yeah, they could be totally wrong, but that's what they say.
That's really cool. I mean, that would be cool to see something like that. And when you think about what you might see in season one, if we saw some of Lan's backstory, I'm down. That would be awesome. But I think there's a shot where Moraine is being healed, and the Aes Sedai healing her. You can see that serpent ring, because one of the things people are talking about is the lollipop ring. You know, the Aes Sedai serpent lollipop ring. It's huge. Thing's massive.
Right.
So
then we get this shot. Then we get this shot of Egwene, and she's floating up in this river, and she's covered in several different colors.
Which is, by the way, the cast is amazing for this. They're just, I'm stoked about that. But yeah, she looks awesome. That's got to be, is that later, or did they do something like this? Because is this a coming of age thing, or was this like her coming up and being accepted? Not accepted.
Maybe
but like a novice?
They could be moving some stuff around here to where, because remember, Nynaeve is the wisdom, and maybe she's sort of. Training Egwene, because all of this seems like way before they leave Emmons Field.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, I don't know. It's hard.
It's a cool shot. It's a cool shot. I think it looks.
This is. This is what IGN spoiled for me, by the way. I won't go any further than that. Ezra's face is like, oh my god.
No.
They flat out tell you what happens right here. So don't go at the
Son
end
why of this is a gun.
Yeah. So then we get a shot of I think what is Shadar Logoth here? It's this dark city. It's looking pretty cool. Then we get another pan out shot of wow, man, the white tower looking cool, and you can see the mountain.
It looks so good.
You can see the mountain.
Did you
the
not
background.
Think? Did you not think that looked good though? Like Tarval in the city.
Oh, yeah,
I think our clip art for this video has a still of that. It is, I thought, fantastic. I mean, reminded me of like when you see Gondor in Lord of the Rings and you see the white mm-hmm. city. I mean, it looks like that, and you're like, wow, okay, that's
yeah,
it's awesome.
Okay, so then I think at this point I'm not listening to it right now, but I just sort of remembered. Then it shifts and we get a shot of Moraine walking through a door. Her outfit I think looks great, although the shoulder pads are a little bit high. I mean, I felt like they're a little bit high. Jimmy and I were joking and I was like, I don't know if she's looking for the Dragon Reborn or trying to hit that blindside block. Okay, I mean, I just don't know. I just messed.
Oh my god!
I'm just messing. So anyway, so she's walking through, and I think at this point on the trailer is when the voice actually shifts from Moraine to Tam Al-Thor. I forget the actor's name, but it's Roose Bolton, right, from Game of Thrones. Yeah. I'm so excited to see him in a good role because he always plays sort of villains. He's he's in Justice League. He's at the beginning of Justice League too. He's the guy that Wonder Woman takes out. He's like going to blow up the library or whatever. But so I'm excited to see him as sort of like a cool sort of character. So Moraine walks in, she sort of takes off her thing. We get an overhead shot of the river, still just kind of showing them flowing through. Egwene is now sort of like, seems like she's really more like just floating down the river, which is cool. Then we get a great shot, my friend, inside the White Tower. You can see all the different Aja, right? As they're all standing right before the Ammerlin seat. You can see reds, blues, whites, browns, mm-hmm. yellows, greens, and then I think there's some that are wearing white, and is it gray or are these black Aja?
Calm down. Matt's literally seeing black Aja. He's seeing dark friends everywhere. He's seeing black Aja in the Hall of Servants right now. That's it. So you've got grays and whites, yeah. So
right, okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so that's definitely kind of cool. Then we see Swan. Then we see Moraine being healed. She's got a big wound.
Yeah. Yes.
That's not in the books, is it?
That's not
in book one or two.
No, it could be prior to
New Spring.
Yeah. So maybe
whatever they're drawing from New Spring.
Yeah. Or maybe they've added an element of just her being injured.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we see the Trolloc attack. Just like it's there's like all this power flowing in to Emmons Field there, presumably Beltane, and it's sort of on fire, which is super, super cool. Then we see the red Aja. I think that's Leandrin, my friend.
Yeah. Let me look up the actress. There's a couple red sisters there, but I don't remember the actress. I'm not sure if that was her or not. Let me see here. But definitely those are her sisters for sure.
Because there's four. Yeah, there's four. Then we get a shot of some woman with like a staff and she sort of slams it down. It's incredibly quick. It's incredibly quick. And I think this might actually be where it
starts
to
shift. Kate Fleetwood. Okay.
Yeah. So then we see, and it's not entirely clear who, what's going on here, but we see a group of people. We see a guy with an axe. It looks like maybe two green Aja. I think they're trying to capture Loghain here.
Yeah, man. from what I could tell, when you go forward a little bit here, you'll see some graves as well. Mm-hmm. You'll see they show you a shot of what looks like Aes Sedai, more of them gathering maybe, and then more of them dead in graves. I could be wrong about that, but I think the battle with him is going to be huge and maybe a big part of this. He's gonna kill some Aes Sedai.
Yeah. Oh, so Stephanie Milligan says that's the keeper. I think referring to that woman with the staff. It's incredibly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Leanne, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, good
Let's
call.
See here. Okay, so then she's stopping the arrows that are flying in. Then it says, you know, this November, we're back to another sort of aerial shot here. We get a big sort of sweeping vista, the sort of rocky plain. Looks like there's two people. It's kind of hard to tell who it is. It looks sort of dark brown or red. And then I think that might be Matt. So that might be Rand and Matt when they're when they get separated.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that could be.
And then it, then we get a shot of Rand with a bow, and he's wearing
which is sick. Like a wool,
which is sick. We get Matt with the dagger, which is cool, and then this sort of shadow rising.
Yeah, right.
Get it? You get
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This sort of shadow rising, as I believe, and then like they're all sort of fleeing. Then we see Matt is seeing a guy inside of a cage, just sort of a cool shot. Then we get a wolf with yellow eyes.
Yeah, man.
That's coming up to Perrin. Then we have Rand and Egwene, and they're not wearing a lot of clothes.
I think they're borderline naked, just to be honest.
Well, Rand's wearing pants, and Egwene, it seems like she is just kind of wrapped in a blanket or something here, so...
Something's either finishing or something's about to start up. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm all for it.
I now that I'm viewing this, I think, especially since we haven't had any casting, we have the Min casting, but we don't have any other casting. Right. I think they're going to push the Egwene Rand romance, especially if the focus of the show is sort of Moraine, if she's sort of like the lead. I think now that I've seen this, I think. We had brought this up before that they might push the Egwene Rand romance a little bit further, just to sort of because you need to get casting and get people in and you know set like, all that stuff so then you can carry that storyline down. It looks like Perrin and Matt in I think Shadarlogoth maybe just sort of sitting there. They look kind of tired, beat up. We get Tam Althor, aka Roose Bolton. Right, and he's saying like the Wheel of Time turns. This is a really cool sequence of shots. So it's about a minute 13 in, and it's an overhead sort of bird's eye view shot of Beltane, and then it's like, and then it immediately cuts to graves, like people buried in a circle, and then immediately cuts to like zooming up the White Tower. That's one of the coolest set of shots in the whole thing, just because sort of I think it also works really, really well for a trailer to just sort of have that like flashing imagery, like what is going
life
on
and
there?
Death, right? So there's death happening, ceremonies. Yeah.
Then 1:16 and things get dark, my friend. We're seeing Murdrals and fades.
Dude, that fade is sick.
Lan saying like dark, like the Dark One's coming. Then we get them running away at Beltane, which is great. And you know what? That remember the very, very, very first leaked image we saw?
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like Rand and Matt. This was like over it. This is like
oh yes, like, yes, 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 yes.
Like early 2020 or something like that. And it was Rand and Matt, and they're sort of in this sort of misty whatever. I think that's like the morning after.
Got it. Okay. And she's maybe showing up, and Matt's been in the town, and Rand was back at the farm, coming back with his dad. Yeah.
Right. So then we're getting a group of people with sort of swords running after, and Lan is fighting, and then we get the shot of Loghain using the power, sort of break out of his cage.
What? I think I missed that. Wait. What? Timestamp me on that. Where's that at?
About a minute. It's like a minute 20.
Minute 20, huh? Okay.
That's total. It's Loghain using the power, and he's like, because he's in the same cage. Remember we saw in those pictures where he's like being.
Yeah. He's in the same cage. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same cage that was in those photos.
Because I was going to do a click through later of this as well. So let me get to 120, you said?
Yeah.
All right, let me get in here. 120. Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, people running. Oh, my God, dude.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Sorry, guys. You're getting like a real live reaction here. I did not. Because, dude, okay. I'm still in Germany.
That changes everything.
That changes everything. What is going on? What is? Did that happen right afterwards? And they brought in more. Like, you know, did they immediately capture him? And they only had two, you know, two Aes Sedai left to kind of hold him, and they couldn't hold him. And then they had to get more.
Well, if you look at if you go 1 second later, and you see he's pushing down I think Leandrin right there, because that was who we saw before. And then a green Aja. It's kind of hard to tell if it's that same woman. They're in some sort of cave, and he just blows them out. And then we sort of shift and we're into a different thing. And we're back to sort of being attacked here. And this is that where I think where Lan was fighting these sort of groups of people. It's kind of hard to tell exactly who it is.
Yeah.
Nynaeve is there. Nynaeve's there. She's wearing a green outfit. Then we go to about a minute 24 and we're in the tower and now Moraine's walking in. In all of her glory, looking great.
Oh man,
in that outfit. Then we cut to Suwon talking to her, saying the final battle is coming. 126, you get this sort of cool shot of the Trollocs, right? And it's like orange and you can't really see them exactly.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of cool and mysterious. Mm-hmm. We get Moraine riding. We get a cool shot of Lan sort of turning up. And this is where there's this big overhead, like the Wheel of Time and all of that is being set.
Epic
now,
scenery.
Now, who are these people that they're fighting against here? They're sort of all wearing mismatching clothes. So it's obviously not like the White Cloaks, which I don't think we saw.
Yeah, okay. So that would be Loghain's followers, I believe.
Gotcha.
From Ghilodon. I think we're going to have, because he had taken over Ghilodon, right? And there was an uprising. Yeah.
Right. So Loghain's going to be a much bigger focus in.
Yeah, because
season one.
And I always love that. The rumor of war, you know, is just all about the two rivers. Yeah.
So that should tell us a lot going forward. That should tell us a lot going forward in the series is, you know, we've always talked about what are we going to keep, what are we going to cut out. This was actually one of the things I really loved about Game of Thrones, for example, and I'll shift back to especially early season one. There are several scenes that are added in. And remember, George R. R. Martin helped write that. Obviously, Robert Jordan can't help write this. But there were several scenes in the season one of Game of Thrones where they could rely heavily on the books. And I think that season relied the heaviest on the books. Like, dialogue is like, I mean, dialogue is almost word for word, especially in that season. But there were a handful of scenes that were added, like Ned Stark's conversation with Jaime Lannister in the throne room.
For sure.
And then like Robert's conversation with Cersei was added, where he talks about, like, you know, is there ever any chance for us? No. Robert with Jaime, where they're talking about like his first kill and stuff like that. So those were some sort of extra scenes which they added in that weren't in the books, but I do believe they provided like valuable context stuff. And again, George R. R. Martin was much heavier influencing that first season in those first four seasons. So, you know, it's easier when you have the author here. So there could be some pushback here. And I will say, you and I are. I'm obviously, for anybody new here, our whole podcast and everything is I'm reading the series for the first time. We're just about to finish the fifth book, Lords of the Fires of Heaven.
Yeah.
And so that's as far as I am. I haven't done New Spring yet. I think we're gonna save that and do that actually at the end. And so some people say you should start with it. I don't know. So if it is something that you do see more in New Spring, at least I'm not as familiar.
I've never thought that the New Spring would spoil anything for you at all in the series or whatever. So if it comes up in the show, no big deal or whatever. But can I take you to a spot, though? 131 on this trailer. And so, again, if you're listening to this on the podcast and you might want to pull this up later at work or something and just take a look at some of these timestamps. 131, who is that Loghain that they've got wrapped up there and someone's running and jumping at him, trying to free him?
I think he's trying to attack him. Yeah.
Is that a warder? I don't know.
Because
somebody real dark is behind. That doesn't look like an Aes Sedai, does it? Somebody's laying dead on the floor there.
Yeah, here we go. So Silver Bells Narshima says, it's going to be Loghain's people, and it seems his role will be much bigger, which I like.
Okay. Okay.
He's saying I see many things from New Springs in this trailer. So I haven't read it yet. And I think New Spring, correct me if I'm mistaken, but I believe New Spring came out before. I think Robert Jordan wrote that, right?
Yeah.
So it came out obviously before he died, which would then be the last three books.
Yeah. So actually, I think when he wrote it, it was somewhere like there in the middle, and it doesn't, again, all of the plot points are prior to the start of Eye of the World. So you're good, but it just, people who show up later in the series, they're in that book that are important.
Right. So, I guess I'm wondering if this Loghain, I guess my wonder is if some of this Loghain stuff, because when we first meet him in Eye of the World, he's captured. So I guess my sort of wonder, maybe anybody in the chat here can read it or can answer if this sort of attack where they capture Loghain is in New Spring, and maybe that's what they're pulling from. But here we go. Stephanie Milligan says he's wrapped in a shield of air. Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, is that he's sort of protecting himself. And Gerald says, I never went back and read New Spring. I've read through the series 3 times. So, yeah. So, okay. So we'll keep moving on here. So 131, we get Lan, and he's fighting the Trollocs. You can do, if you freeze frame it at 132, you can get sort of a closer look on the Trollocs here, and they look pretty cool. I don't know how I feel about them just yet. It's one of these things where you're freeze framing it, and it's so specific. Like, when I freeze frame it at 132, they look kind of bad. But then it's, you know, there's like lighting, all this stuff going on. It's hard to say that they look bad when I have, you know,
for sure,
potentially a bad angle. So then we start to move forward, and this is where we get to sort of the Waygate, which takes us all the way about halfway through the rest of the trailer, them sort of riding up. 137, we get the Murdrawl.
I mean, Matt, I have been waiting for years to see a Fade walk into Emmons Field, and that's some scary stuff, man. When you start
Eye of the World,
the teeth, all this stuff, like the stillness of the figure in black, and Rand saw it, and the other boys have seen it, and they need to say something about it. Moraine's there. I mean, dangerous. It just seems, I don't know, the way they set that up, I hope we really see someone following Rand and some spookiness kind of going on, or like he looks back, he's not sure he saw that figure cloaked in black, and then you see Lan show up with his cloak, and yeah, so cool.
Here we go. Yeah, Two Rivers Badger says it was mentioned when Fane arrived in Emmons Field. Silver Badger Nishima, it seems like they are combining New Spring, Loghain's story, and new content not from the books into the series. Yeah, it says because it has Nynaeve and Lan with the group exactly fighting Loghain's people, and that never happened. Exactly, that doesn't happen. Stephanie Milligan, the Fade is everything we could have asked for. The Fade to me was by far the coolest looking. I looked cooler than the Trollocs.
From the
freeze frames. Yeah, that I saw.
Yeah.
So
scary.
Going on here. Yeah, you get some more Trollocs running in. I'll tell you what. Then about 140. A lot of people were sort of critical, but we were actually on the defense of Lan. Because he's not like, you know, just
a lot of the art
makes him seem like he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Like he's just this like
massive
guy. But I actually like it. He feels more of sort of like, you know, obviously a samurai because he's got the sword, and especially the headband going back and everything.
Right, right.
To me, Lan is the best. Not like, I mean, they're all, I think they're all actually pretty well cast, but I think his costume immediately to me like sort of jumps out as that's Lan for me. That works. It fits. Moraine is Daniel good Henney. Too. And then
he's good.
Yeah. And then you jump, and then we see Moraine. She throws some power to Lan, and Lan wrecks a Trolloc, which is pretty cool. And then here we go. We get the shot that we saw in the early thing where, you know, see her eyes, and then the lightning comes down, and then it just cuts to the logo, which is cool too. The logo should not be understated as well. Now that I've seen it, you know, a little more in action with the rest of it around.
Yeah, it's sick. This whole her weaving the power is pretty epic. I mean, and the way it pulls from the sky. So at 145, you got the shot, and then you've got, let me move past this a little bit here. I think it's 140. It was earlier, I think, but they showed earlier like her pulling it from the sky, and you could just see it all kind of coming and channeling into her, like the streams and the flows, and it was sick. I think the channeling. What do you think about that? Like the one power, that the use of it. I mean, it looks good, right?
I think it looks good. I it's It's sort of hard to tell in a trailer. And the other thing we need to remember is that it is also season one. The budget, you know, some of the budgets are a little bit lower than they are. I mean, it looks okay. There has been some pushback. We got one guy in the comment here, Jonathan R, says, I thought the channeling looked a little too generic and a bit cheesy, but all in all, a good trailer. And that's something common that I've seen. Some people push back on. To me, it didn't look, you know, like, because we were kind of nervous, right, a little bit about the about it, like, exactly, was, you know, how was good this is
the, right, invisible how good, flows
right, we're like, are we talking like a Game of Thrones budget here, or are we talking like a CW show budget, you know what I mean? Because
it's like
the Flash, like, seasons, like, you know, from what I've seen, like, seasons 4 through 6 were like some pretty awesome CGI. But all I see now is everyone saying that the CGI budget went to the tank, man. Like, something happened, and it's like out the window. So, I mean, to me, I don't know. I watched it. I thought it looked cool. I just thought it looked cool. I didn't really sort of think
it's not over the top. That's a good thing, though. I mean, that it's not so much in your face that everyone's talking about it, or that it's not like there's enough, right? There's enough there to say this is her channeling air, or she's channeling, you know, it could be some of the different elements. But what we saw looked like it wasn't taking away from everything else that was going on. And so I think that's great. And Rosamund Pike, by the way, when you stop in on some of those shots in her face, she is locked in. I mean, that is this is a huge role for her. This is awesome. I am so pumped that she's the lead on this. And
For me, I would say the coolest thing is, you know, it's one thing when you see like a character in costume, right? And again, I think, you know, Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, because I think they're sort of two mediums to go to that I think work really well, because a lot of movies and TV adaptations of anything where you sort of go medieval, right? Even if it's a sort of a created same thing. Now, Wheel of Time is slightly less sort of medieval, I would say. It's obviously got like some Victorian influences and stuff like that. But like Game of Thrones, you have knights and dragons and all of that stuff. But a lot of the armor is very specific, and it looks like it exists inside of its own world, right? It sort of all blends together. It doesn't actually seem weird seeing like Khal Drogo and then cutting to a scene with, you know, like Loras Tyrell, and the armors are totally different, but it still feels like it exists inside of its own world, and it's not just trying to make it look, say, medieval for the sake of making it look medieval, because that's how it should look. That's even when we saw the first costuming, you know, it was hard to tell because, well, it just seems like they're just kind of wearing generic, you know, tunics and garb and whatever. And we said we're going to have to see it in action to see how the costuming all fits and works and looks like it makes sense. And it totally does. It totally does. Because a lot of what they're wearing is actually pretty just sort of like basic stuff. Other than the Aes Sedai, it's nothing really super elaborate. And again, it shouldn't be right now because they're sort of farmers and, you know, they're all from this small town. But even seeing it move in motion and everything, it like the world came alive is what I guess what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. And the costuming didn't feel out of place. It felt like it existed.
Yeah, which is great. So if you when you get a chance, you can kind of scrub back through that trailer. You'll see in the White Tower when the even the Aes Sedai, when you look at them, they're not all just wearing the exact same robe of the same style. They're wearing the same color, and maybe the texture might be close, but there's headdresses, there's different things, there's extra bits and pieces to everyone's kind of costume. So each individual Aes Sedai kind of, like, their culture might come through in what they're wearing, but still it's the color of the Aja that they're associated with. So I thought that was cool, because if you stop and look, you can see somebody with a headdress back there and see different types of versions of red sisters and then blues and so on, which I thought was cool.
Some people have been complaining. That is another complaint I've seen is people are complaining that the Aja are wearing the color, like they're all just wearing their
No, I think it's colors. Awesome.
I do too. I guess I've always just sort of thought that they do. I guess maybe I'm not reading the books correctly or paying as much attention, but that's
sort of what
I thought they did.
Yeah, if you want to go into a city, like let's say you're going in somewhere like I'm a DC or whatever, and you want to be undercover, and you're not going to wear like your normal Aes Sedai garb. You're going to go
right.
incognito type of thing. Like, I think even Moraine, when she's traveling as Lady Alice, like she's there's hints of blue, but yet really she's traveling, you know, undercover. Sort of. So, yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. I actually think it's awesome that they're wearing that, and I love that we get to see them at the White Tower, and then we get to see them move out. I love when costumes change a bit, too, right? So when you have a wardrobe change and you see Moraine wearing different dresses, and I'm hoping that the girls and the guys, like, Rand is going to – his costuming needs to evolve and in a big way. I think it's really cool when that happens. I do yeah. want to – go ahead.
Talk about who this guy is at 17 yes. seconds kissing
yes.
Moraine.
Yes. So okay.
IGN. Yeah. Okay. So I watched the IGN breakdown, which again, don't watch.
Anybody in the comments know who that is? Yeah.
If you don't know anything spoiler, they're saying it's Lan's dad. What's it? Alkir? Is that who? Is that right?
Yeah. 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 So, but my thing is, he's wearing this ring. It looks like that's the serpent ring. It looks like somebody was saying this is a warder who has lost his Aes Sedai during the battle with Loghain. And was
yeah,
kind
see, of Stephanie Milligan here. I don't understand that they wear them in the books. Yeah, I don't know. It was on Twitter today. I was reading, like, there was a big debate going yeah. on about, like, the costuming, and people were saying they should. I was like, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, it helps your mainstream really? Audience too to see who's who, like which.
Yeah. So author. We'll dive into Alkir here if that is who you're in a second. So I guess the criticisms I saw today on the internet, the biggest one, I guess, oddly enough, again, was the yeah, they are wrong. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So Gerald, I have no idea who that is. So the criticisms I saw today were the channeling, some people saying, like, you know, it could have look more high budget, I suppose. And then the costuming a little bit. Some people were blasting the Aja for, like, the colors that they wear. But again, I just think they don't know what the heck they're talking about. The third one was sort of, not that I want to really super get into all this, but some people were saying, I think the line that Moraine says about, like, and women have the power to protect everyone. And people were going off just saying, oh, it's,
well, they do.
They do. I know. They don't.
They, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But do you think that because I don't have a problem with that. And once people understand the series and that it is about two separate sides of the power. But I think a lot of people who've never seen this are sort of getting, you know, SJW ish and saying, oh, here we go again. It's a pro. But I guess yeah. what I want to get to is because that's whatever. I think they're just sort of
yeah,
dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think they should have mentioned something perhaps about a male side of the power, and specifically, I guess, maybe we're looking for the dragon? Because I don't know, do you go with this idea of, hey, the final battle's coming, or should you have left a line that was maybe you need to find him? And then it's like, wait, who are they looking for? I feel like that could have, like, made it that much more sort of mysterious for... Because we're all in the eyes of people who sort of know what's going on, but for people yeah. who don't know what's going on,
right, right.
I guess it'd be like, what if you have no idea what's going on? It'd be like, why are they finding these farm kids? What's the point? You know, what's the purpose there? It seems like they just
yeah. So in a trailer, you know, do you drop right. one line that says, yeah, we're seeking the Dragon Reborn or whatever
or something to make it seem like all these kids are of importance.
Yeah. The other thing, I guarantee they're going to have to do it because you have to sell the idea that channeling is like male channelers are bad and that they go mad and that they'll go crazy. Like, that's got to be sold hardcore, and it's going to be sold through Loghain, which is we're not going to want to see. If you've never read the series and you have no idea what's going on, you go into this and you look at our main cast, our Immensfielders. We love them. We're going to love them. We're going to see them going on this journey with an Aes Sedai who maybe you shouldn't trust. We're not really sure. Tom right. Marilyn, is he going to slip
see
in there?
It.
And
didn't we didn't see Tom. Him?
Yeah. So is he going to pop in there and give them some guidance? But then at some point when it's hinted at that one of them could channel, that's like, oh, hold on a second. Like, we don't want one of our nice, you know, Matt Perrin or Rand to become Loghain. No, we can't have that. Like, a mainstream audience
right.
needs to be feeling that type of feel. So they got to sell that early on, which is, I think, why they're doing so much of this Loghain stuff.
Right.
Which is good. Really good.
Yeah, because I guess that's how that's sort of how I think maybe season one will end, is going to be. I think we find out Rand can channel. So maybe at the end of the season, you know, because again, that's really kind of book one and two, is Rand is coming into this. Remember his, because we're learning so much about his parentage, and oh, there's a lot of mysterious stuff going on there. Why doesn't Rand look? That's like something that constantly comes up, is why does Rand sort of look, you know, Aiel? They don't really use the. He looks, you know, like a Westlander, right? Or an Aielman, right?
Yeah, from the waist. Yeah.
So I guess that's. At what point do we learn that Rand is something more? I think maybe the big focus of season one is going to be Loghain, and then something will happen, and then I think maybe we get to say to like the Eye of the World, right? I think that's still sort of how we end season one, and then maybe we're being attacked by the Forsaken, and Rand sort of uses the power, and it's sort of like, wait, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah, that could be, and they have to at some point have Matt and Rand in a desperate situation. You have to hint somewhere along the line that Rand has this power. You know what I mean? You remember that when he's with the skinny innkeeper and he's getting the lightning strike and he gets sick afterwards, and they almost need to think, the two boys need to think, was that more Rain? Is she nearby? Right. Did she come to save us?
I don't think they're gonna be split up. We've talked about that we don't think they're going to – that. Although we did get that one shot, so maybe they are, or maybe that's later.
Yeah, and that could be just a moment of them running around in one episode split.
Yeah, So some of the costumes here. In the books, the Aes Sedai wear their color shawls over regular dresses. Exactly. So that's sort of what some people were making. It says minor spoilers as the tower splits. That's okay. We're sort of there. In the books, women wearing only their Aja colors is a sign the tower is breaking apart. Two Rivers Badgers, the ring of wrapped corpses after the Two Rivers Dance, are the dead from the battle with Loghain and his followers. Yeah, that sequence of shots was epic. Bells, Narshima says, you hit the nail on the head, Ezra. I think that's when you were talking about like the reveal of, or the Loghain being a focus. The Stephanie Milligan, the dragon reveal is going to be a bit of a slow burn. Yeah. Because again, and then here we go, Silver Bells, Narshima saying, I think that's why they will focus on the other characters the first season for that very reason. Because again, so we've already seen Perrin with the wolf, with yellow eyes. So we know that's going to be kind of hinted at. But in the books, that doesn't even get, that takes, it feels like it takes a lot longer to get sort of revealed. It's really like book four is when we really kind of get it, because we go deep into Perrin. Yeah. In the shadow rising, because you remember, this is also for TV audiences who are viewing this in a totally different light than book readers, and you've kind of got to accomplish a lot in a much shorter time with like the Ta'veren and Matt's thing. Although we're just sort of still learning that, and we're in book five. Is where it's being sort of revealed much more. And then you have Perrin's thing, and then, you know, oh, they're Ta'veren, and he's the Dragon Reborn, and Matt has his thing, and Perrin has his thing, and stuff like that. So you've got to kind of walk a really sort of fine line of how do you reveal stuff at what point to keep the series going, but not taking too long to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot to kind of wrap in here, right? You've got to talk about the prophecy of the dragon. You've got to talk about maybe Loghain trying to be the dragon, right? He's a false dragon. He's called that. Then you've got Ta'veren being woven in there. And that's a Loyal situation, my friend. Let Loyal step in there and Caemlyn or wherever and bring that to light. But there's a lot, man. When you think about the first book and even the first couple books, there's a lot of characters to weave in and out. And if you're talking New Spring, I mean, this is a big, big, you know, world to manage.
This also, for me, I think eliminates, now that we've seen just a little bit of it and seen some of the way, you know, just pacing and everything, I think for me, I don't know that we're getting any Luce Theron stuff season one. I think we got to hold off on that.
My only thing is, unless that guy, somebody said at one point, the guy holding the ring at 18 seconds.
Could be Luce Theron.
Is that Luce Theron? Is he holding, like, because the serpent ring, right? If that's, he could be holding his own or someone else's. And that would be insane.
I'm going to pull up the IGN breakdown and just listen.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So if you cover for a second here as well, I pull that up. So
I guess too, if you're in the comments right now too, just first of all, thanks for coming over and checking this out. Drop us a comment in here. Just overall thoughts. Just a quick kind of initial. Did you like it? Are you pumped? How are you feeling about the trailer in general? And I'll try to read some of those out because I've been waiting for years for this. I've been wanting to see a Fade. I've been wanting to see the Dragon Reborn and Loghain and all of this. And I didn't know I needed this much Loghain in season one, but I definitely do. And I'm happy for it. So, you know, just leave us a comment. Let us know what you think there because this is freaking epic. And for folks who don't know, new folks kind of coming into the coming into our podcast. Matt and I are kind of doing a read through. He's up into we're in Fires of the Heaven, part 6 or 7, I think, right now. We're right at the end. We've got the last 5 chapters, I believe, or 10. And major stuff, you guys know, happens there. So no spoilers for any of that kind of stuff in the comments. Just past book 5, which would be great. But man, what do you got?
So they're saying, IGN is saying, and they actually got ripped pretty hard in the comments for this. He says that he is holding the Golden Crane signet ring, but that's not what it looks like.
No, there's actually a ring later on where let me find it real quick in the trailer for you when Moraine is being healed.
Right. And it looks the same.
It's the exact same ring. It is a serpent ring. Right. You can see the serpent's head there.
I think somebody said this in our comments. So here's the comments from the IGN thing, because it's the number one voted thing. He says he's holding
39 seconds.
Right. He's holding an Aes Sedai ring, not Malkyr. He's a warder. The actor is Peter Franzen, who is listed to be playing a warder to Karin Nagashi.
Okay. Cool.
Right.
Cool.
And so, okay, some people are saying so perhaps she dies and he's mourning her with her ring.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes
sort of way more sense, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's sort of an original character for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that name doesn't sound familiar to me.
Well, or New Spring stuff. Like, right, there's
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I think Let me go look up real quick here. But I'm pretty sure. You've not encountered.
People are commenting saying, you guys really think IGN knows what they're talking about? Now, they did. The guy who's reading it, first of all, messes up the line, messes up the names like 10 times. And he says, Elmansfield, Edmansfield, Emonsfield. I mean, like back to back. That's worse than Matt when he first started. When I first started the series, I kept calling it Edmansfield, and then people were like, it's Emmonsfield. I was like, sorry, guys.
I'll be honest. The pronunciations are tough. Like when you read them and you look at them, it takes time. I listen to the audio.
This guy says, "Don't Google Namashira name." Spoilers. Okay, we won't do that.
Yeah.
Loved it. Too many people want it to be page for page instead of an adaptation. I thought it was amazing. Yeah, you just can't. You're not gonna be able to adapt this page for page. It's too big. And now that I'm obviously further into the series, as you and I have talked on the podcast. As well about several things that you can eliminate, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that happens in even just we're about to finish the fifth book. We're on like the final chapters in the podcast, and which is my first read for any of you guys new here in the chat. You know, like do the girls really have to get captured like 5 times in the show? No, I think you can do it once to sort of get the point across and you can. You can sort of go on from there. You know, there's how many pages do we spend talking about Nynaeve's hair tugging? That is just something you see.
Hey, buddy.
You still do it, but it doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take like chapters and stuff to, you know, how many paragraphs do you spend talking about things that on TV is two seconds of.
Right.
You know, because you don't have that sort of internal dialogue. When two characters kiss, you don't have, you know, looking at him this way and then it happens and all of the emotion and everything. That's like 2 to 3 pages. And then you can sort of, Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just go.
Actually, that's a good point. Like Rafe and Sarah Nakamura, they've read the series, right? So they know how much of that, of those gestures or those character traits that they need to throw in to sell the foreshadowing that they lead to, you know, the event that they're going to lead to later and stuff like that, which is good. That's why you got to have people, book fans who, you know where this is going. The series is complete. Use what's there. Make it better. Answer some questions. You've got Brandon Sanderson. You've still got Harriet. You've got other folks who you can do some things. You can take some of Robert Jordan's notes and put some surprises in for us. I think that'd be awesome.
Stephanie Milligan says, I'll come for you over Braid Tugging. No, you got to have it. I'm just saying.
You got to have it. Yeah.
You got to have it, but what you don't have, you know, it's something that in the book is, you know, a paragraph or so of the way she feels about it and, you know, curse you, Randall Thor, whatever. And when it's just in the show, it's just 1 second of her her doing it. So a lot of, you have to think about like, wow, it's so many pages of the book, but really it sort of gets condensed. Some things get expanded, like fight scenes.
Sure.
Can take more time because you know you build it up, but a lot of stuff can get sort of squeezed in terms of just the way books are compared to TV.
Yeah, for sure. And that makes a lot of sense. Our good buddy Ryan right. is in here and was asking about book three, I think, right? Do we see anything from
yeah,
book three?
Yeah, well, I'll get to him in a quick. Just Silver Bells and our Shimmer here agreeing with me. He says, especially when Robert Jordan describing wardrobe, which can be shown in 1 second. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
it's pretty obvious. Yeah, you don't need any of that. So Ryan says, Rafe says that season one will include some scenes from book three. Did we see anything in the trailer that could be book three? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing that I thought that could happen is when, maybe not when Rand is on his own. I don't know. Like remember when Rand is sort of approaching the forest
right.
and you've got the Dark Friends there and he kills them, or if you have like a gray man assassin. We didn't see any of that kind of stuff, but I was right. trying when he first said that, I was trying to think like, what's an element from book three that you could bring in earlier?
Even what we saw, you know, a lot of trailers do this where really your first trailer is kind of like the first four episodes. Like they don't
go beyond that.
They don't even take anything beyond that. You sometimes get like a mid-season one. And I think the release schedule is, I think, November 19th when it comes out. I think we're getting three episodes at once, and then it'll be weekly after
Which
that.
Which is crazy. That's awesome. Which is awesome. Man, we are going to be busy.
Disney kind of does that where they release, typically their schedule has been sort of, where they release an episode on a Tuesday, and then they release a second episode on Friday, and then it's just weekly after that. So if you're going to do sort of weekly, I think that's kind of cool. I think giving people more than one episode, because you don't want somebody to watch an episode. I think about three episodes is really the perfect amount to sort of give people right away. So you can kind of go right into it. Like, okay, I can watch 1, 2, 3, get invested enough to be ready for it. Because sometimes if you just get one, like I think WandaVision, for example, I mean, WandaVision was fantastic, right? But like sort of going into that first episode, you're kind of like, what is this? And the show didn't even really like make sense until you got to like episode three. So I think that's sort of a cool, I think that's a good idea. Giving people the three episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, it has been guessed. Two Rivers Badger says it has been guessed that only pieces from the first three episodes were in the trailer. Yeah, I could agree with that. Because if you remember, I think the first episode is leave taking. So I think the first episode is Emmons Field, flat out. I think it ends. We've said this before. We did videos on that. I think the first episode is flat out Trolloc attack. We have to leave. That's the end. That's the end of episode one. Episode two, we think, is going to be Shadar Logoth.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. We're being chased. We seek shelter there. Podon Fane. We didn't see him in this trailer, but Fane is going to be a big deal, right? So
right.
in those first two episodes, I'm imagining. So.
Yeah, it says, considering the Waygate shot, Buddha here, he says, considering the Waygate shot, according to the metadata from the EW article, Magnificent Seven photo, it's from episode 6, The Flame of Tar Valon. So, yeah.
That's interesting too. And the Waygate is interesting to me because, you know, they find it in Camelin normally, right? That's where they originally go. Are we just bypassing Camelin? Is Camelin in this first
there's
season?
No, you know? There's no Elaine cast.
Yeah. I don't think we are. I think we might be passing that city up and exploring more of Tar Valon, and that'll be the season two big location. I don't know.
Yeah, I do too. And we've talked about what are they going to push forward, what are they going to pull back. There's definitely going to be a lot of stuff shifted. Definitely going to be a lot of stuff shifted around. So some people were originally they made it almost seemed like they were going to get to the end of the Great Hunt in season one. Now it's. I think now that we've seen this, it makes way more. What you and I had said as originally was maybe we get to like the beginning of it, or stuff is just so shifted around that it's so now there's no way seeing what we've seen that what we've seen now that you get to there's no way we're getting the Horn of we could get the Horn of Valyr, but there's no way the Horn of Valyr is being blown at the end of season one. There's just no way.
Heck no. There's no way. If somebody is sounding that no horn, way.
That's to me that's
at the end of this.
To me
that's season two
might not only end with the Horn of Valyr being blown, it might also have Kalendor. You might merge those together. Which I think actually would be sort of okay.
Yeah, because I think you said like Dragon Reborn, what really happens? It's a lot of
right. And now that we're about to finish book five, I think you could squeeze four and five together and even take some stuff from three if you had to. So Dragon Reborn, sure. Shadow Rising. I think you could do a lot of the major points of that. But the way I would end season two would be the White Tower falling at the same time. See, I think some of these events that like seem like they happen at a different part. I think you maybe make them happen at the same time. Or unless you're going to do this 3-episode thing, in which case you're every season, in which case your third episode is sort of like in Game of Thrones. Remember, it was always like episode 9 was like the episode where like something massive happened.
Yes.
And then you had a little bit of fallout into your thing. Like Game of Thrones spoilers here, but obviously you see episode 9 of season 1 is when Ned dies. And it's also, I think, season two or three is where the battle at at Castle Black. So I think it's supposed to be season three, where that takes place. Battle of the Blackwater is season two. So it's like, so you might actually have sort of a big, massive point happen in your episode 3. So people watch 1, 2, and 3 every season. And then it's like, oh man, I cannot wait for next week.
Yeah.
So maybe season 2, episode 3 ends, and maybe you slide something forward, or you slide something back, like put on Fane stealing the Horn of Valyr would be a great way to end. That's still early enough.
For sure.
You could you could tie up some stuff in Eye of the World, and then it's like, okay, now we're on to Hunt to go.
Yeah,
get
you
the,
could even
to go get the horn back.
Yeah, and then think about too. I haven't thought twofold. So Pot on Fane after Perrin, right? So you talk about when Perrin his whole arc in the Two Rivers. Maybe that happens a little bit later. Maybe he sticks with the main crew for a while, and then he has to depart for like a season 2 or 3, and then out he goes to kind of do that stuff. But yeah, man,
you know, another sort of so here we go. Here some other things people are saying here. Yeah, Rafe talked about budget constraints and having locations. Yeah, again, it's totally, you know, it's television. It's how it sort of works. Because he had said a lot of that. He's like, well, we can't film every location, guys. You know, you got to build a set. You got to move stuff in. And so it says something like, do you want all the places from the Eye of the World done poorly or a few done well? Exactly. 2 and 3 are ripe for a mashup. Yeah, books 2 and 3 definitely, I think, are... There's a lot in both of those that you can sort of squeeze together. So if season 1 is going to be some of New Spring plus sort of new content, and then I think... You know, I guess the question is, where do we get in the Great Hunt that doesn't include... I don't know. Because so some people, I guess, we didn't see in this trailer. I think this can sort of explain a lot. We didn't see Tom Maryland, which, mm-hmm. you know, Tom Maryland, as we know, will he gets sort of like, air quote, killed, right? He gets sort of lost early in the books. And you and I had sort of talked that he might not, and he might stay with the group because you have him cast, and you have this sort of other character named Dala cast, but it's spelled different than it is in the books. But we think that was something we might bring forward, is that he sort of has this girlfriend, not that he sort of gets her later like we did in the books. Then we didn't see Padawn Vane, and we didn't see Loial.
Yeah, that's pretty big. So, I think we're going to see all of them season one. You think that too. But the whole losing Tom Maryland, I've started more to think you could lose him at any point in time. Like, you can build him up to a character we care about. And remember in book two.
We didn't see Min
either. Yeah, we didn't see Min. You could find a point in book two or season two where, remember the fate is nailed to the, is nailed. Yeah, like you could have a situation where they're chasing Padawn Vane in that group, and maybe he does something to help them get away, or you lose him again in Kyrian or something. There's a lot of places where Tom can go away for a bit and then come back, and Matt finds him in Tar Valon, you know.
Yeah, situation. Tar Valon and Caimlan, Silverbells, Narshima here. Tar Valon and Caimlan would be hard to do in the same season set-wise, especially with Shattered Logoth. Absolutely. Absolutely. And remember that season one of this show, we don't know because of, you know, COVID. Remember, they had to shut down, so they had to film episodes 7 and 8 later. You know, we don't know. And I think they filmed it in Croatia or wherever, or Czech Republic, wherever they were filming. Czech Republic, I think. You know, they had all sorts of restrictions on how many people you could have. So we don't know what that did to the final two episodes and what the sort of plan was there. So.
Right.
And there's been no leaked photos, because there have been a lot of leaked photos, but none of them have been. We haven't seen Padawn Vane, Loial in any of those.
Padawn Vane,
even people wearing like this, you know, the motion capture stuff. There's like no photos of anybody wearing like motion capture stuff. But maybe you do that all on a green screen, so it's all inside. It's not anywhere where you can capture it.
Yeah, for sure. I think. Well, also, I wanted to bring up real quick White Cloaks. We didn't see any White Cloaks, did we?
Right.
Nope. Did we see any White Cloaks? Yeah. Because I actually thought for a split second that individual in white who is a warder, mourning over the loss of an Aes Sedai, I thought for a second that was like, Bornhold or something. Like we might see Jeff from Bornhold or somebody.
Right.
But then I looked at the castings and those are gonna be different, but I can't wait to see the White Cloaks actually be a piece of this, calling out Dark Friends, man, left and right.
Absolutely. So, all right, as we're at about an hour, we just wanted to hop on here, and it's like as is in Germany right now, and so our times, and I'm on the West Coast, so our time zones are totally opposite. So I want to thank everybody here who's Two Rivers Badgers, Brother Buddha, Silver Belgian Ashima, Stephanie Milligan, Ryan, Jonathan R, all you guys for coming in and hanging out here with us over on our YouTube. We did this as a live, so super fun. Ez and I will be back probably this weekend recording. We'll do another. I think we're gonna have to do another just sort of major talk about what do we think's going to happen, because there were some photos released as well that are separate from the first photo leaks we got. Now we can sort of piece that together with the trailer, with some of the leaked stuff. Yeah. We've got, so all of this stuff is awesome. And thanks, guys. A lot of new subscribers today over on YouTube. So we really, really appreciate that. And for those of you guys who are just here on YouTube, Ez and I do run a full podcast where I'm reading the books for the first time. We're about to finish The Fires of Heaven. And it's certainly non-spoilers because I'm reading it for the first time. So it's a lot of fun. So you can check that out on anywhere on iTunes or any of that stuff. So really, really really, really appreciate you guys checking us out. So with that, guys, stay tuned. We will be back with more. And remember that the grave is no bar to our call.